And welcome back to part two, our first ever two-part episode here on Stop the Movie Podcast by Garbage Pail Kids. If you haven't listened to part one, it's available on iTunes and it's available at our website.
But the way this story is going, you really don't need to.
You really don't. I mean, even if you didn't listen to part one, you probably know, understand this movie as well as we did. Garbage Pail Kids, 1987, Hollywood theatrically released live-action movie. This is real stuff. This really happened. But anyway, I'm back. We're all back. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here with Brian Muir, Cody Wolf, Jack Estabrook, our very special guest, Jessica Kane from your television. Here for part two. Jessica Kane, admitted Garbage Pail Kids fan, helping us try to understand what the visuals passing before our eyes as this was on were. So to catch back up, where we left off is the Garbage Pail Kids have broken out of the state home for the ugly.
A harrowing rescue.
Where they were sent.
The high point of the movie.
Did they really get, was there some habeas corpus? Did they get a fair trial in going to the state home for the ugly?
I don't think you do get a trial. I think it's like the pound. You just get caught.
It's kind of like,
The obsolete man Twilight Zone episode.
They had a really intense mini net that they would use on people.
I kind of saw it as like an allegory for Guantanamo Bay. You know?
I told you there's a deeper meaning to this. We got the Charles Dickens reference.
Yeah,
we do.
So deep.
Dickens, he's spinning in his grave.
He would be very upset.
the Artful Dodger.
Spinning.
Pirouettes, really.
Now, he's not just rolling. He's breakdancing in his grave. So the Garbage Pail Kids get out. They are headed back to the fashion show where their amazing designs are being portrayed by Tangerine. We were talking about this in the break. Tangerine, who is the fashion designer / Dodgers love interest / Juice's possible girlfriend
/ Juice's squeeze
/ / potential.
Okay, that's the end of part two. We're ending on that.
/ potential sexual predator, because she's obviously like in her 20s.
And has her own apartment and is sort of in this creepy relationship with a 14-15 year old kid. Okay, so even though the Garbage Pail Kids just produced all these designs, there's posters, this is a full blown fashion show she's putting on. What was she gonna do?
How
did this get put together?
There are a couple hundred people in the back alley of a dance club.
You got some models there. Tangerine logo and all these people in suits coming to watch her designs.
Seemingly in a matter of days, she went from literally selling the shirt off of her back to having posters made up.
And her ego has exploded. We were just saying she was so mean to all the models, even the host. She's like, lose the gum, honey. What?
It's a rags-to-riches story.
Yeah, Tangerine. And we were also talking about, wouldn't it have been awesome if Tangerine's, the name of her, line wasn't, she just calls it, Designs by Tangerine. It'd have been so awesome if it was, Nectarines, a design company by Tangerine. Or something, Strawberries by Tangerine. They needed to work that in. And I'm already lost again. I forget what
The fashion show is going on. Okay. And all of a sudden a cart of clothes rolls onto the stage by itself. And all the garbage pails explode out of it. Everyone in the crowd says they're going crazy, that the Miles are going crazy because these ugly little kids are running on stage and alligators in the room.
What is that conversation that Juice is having on the phone?
I want to mention that. Right before this happens,
because I think
Juice
this
is on the phone.
To our cocaine
Juice
theory.
Is on the phone, and he says on the phone, he goes, as soon as this stuff gets over the border, get it to the warehouse.
You must be right.
He does. Yeah. He said, literally, he's just dealing drugs or something.
Yeah.
As soon as the stuff gets over the border, make sure it gets
to the... For a guy who seems to be a high-level drug dealer, he's awfully concerned with a 14-year-old kid who's hitting on his girlfriend.
Why is he stealing lunch money from a 14-year-old if he's dealing drugs in Mexico?
There's a lot bigger money to be made.
They hand him, when he takes him to the state of the ugly, they hand him three bills. They're like, keep him coming if you can find him. He's like an ugly person bounty hunter and a drug dealer. So then the town's version of Boba Fett.
So the kids bust in and they start attacking the gang. The gang starts fighting with
Reason they start attacking models and
they're tearing the dresses
messy
off the models.
Messy snot everywhere.
The highlight of Valerie, the film. They started taking the dresses off.
Valerie vomits on Shia LaBeouf and the burly girl.
She finally lives up to her name.
And the only time.
Yeah.
And I swear I backtracked it a dozen times. The actress must be laughing as she's getting barfed on, because it appears that the burly chick is enjoying being barfed on.
Ooh, kinky.
Ooh.
Because the actress must just be laughing at the sheer ridiculousness of being like squirted by this whatever this gas.
It was like, it was like Nickelodeon.
It's like they were giggling about it before the take, and she said it.
And they kept it. They used it as it's like she was giggling and they left it in the movie.
Well, this is when Nickelodeon was getting big too, and this all felt like a shameless like, hey, that slime on Nickelodeon is big. How do we work that in? Yeah. You know,
but they didn't have enough money in the budget to redo the vomit scenes.
There was like,
come on, guys, we need this in one take.
There were chunks. I was impressed. Yeah. But at first, I thought it was just like fluorescent green stuff.
It looked
we
like
still
vanilla
don't know what they
pudding.
Eat, so
we don't.
Yeah. They're eating popcorn and hot dogs. So.
Yeah, that's all we've seen.
Well, and Dodger and Juice. We
got to
talk about this Dodger Juice fight scene.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
In the craziest movie we've seen so far for this podcast, this is the craziest fight scene I've ever seen in any movie because it ends with Juice knocked out and Dodger crying.
And him slapping him until Manzini pulls
him
off.
Well, let's back up to the fight, though. At first, I think they're throwing each other around. Juice keeps picking up the kid and like throwing him into stuff.
Yeah.
So then, I can't remember which Garbage Pail Kid it is, but I think two of them like assist him, and they like help him like flip through
trips.
The air.
Yeah,
he flips through the air and lands on Juice and knocks him down, and then he starts punching him in the face.
Yeah,
and it was like it reminded me of the Christmas Story scene.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
He punches his kid in the face, and then Captain Manzini comes up and he's like, just puts his hand on his shoulder. And the kid starts crying. They like walk away slowly.
Juice is coming for him.
This is like a high level drug dealer. Right. This is not just some bully that he stood up to.
In the midst of it, did anybody see the cutaway shot they put in of Tangerine?
Yeah, yeah. There's
this random cutaway shot of Tangerine looking so bored.
Yeah.
Like she's watching like
not concerned about the
PBS News Hour or something.
It's like two men fighting to the death over her.
They must have like run out of footage or something. This had to be stolen from somewhere else.
Yeah, so they walk away, and
it's the Robert.
It was
Lowe's
the actress just on
really
set, like what the hell?
Over the
and
top.
Dodger, yeah, Dodger's like bawling, and Captain Mancini's like, "All right, you've done enough here."
Walk away slowly.
And now the movie is wrapping up, where Tangerine tries to like redeem herself with Dodger. She's like,
"She says, I want to be friends."
She apologizes. We can be friends.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, like sorry. I've been exploiting you all movie and locking your friends up, sending them to the state home for the ugly. Maybe implying you in a drug deal. All kinds of other things. And then Dodger's like, "No, I don't want to be friends.
I don't think you're pretty anymore.
That's right, which is like the worst insult you could say to Tangerine.
Yeah, she took it hard.
Yeah, it probably would have been worse if he had said, I don't think your clothes are pretty anymore. That would have been the most devastating.
Go after me, don't touch my clothes.
He should have been like, I want someone who's got better style.
But I thought that was good because that's one of the themes of the movie. You
but
know,
again, it would make
beauty.
Sense.
You
it
know
would
why,
make
though?
Sense
she's
if
all,
the garbage
she's all pulp
so
and no juice.
Yeah.
Jack. Oh,
Jack is Mr. Bad Pun today.
Yeah,
I missed it again. I keep mixing Jack's puns.
I don't even repeat it.
I can't even repeat it. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
So they go back into the store. Manzini's finally figured out the magical melody to get the kids back into the pool.
Which is just their "We Can Do Anything by Working With Each Other" song played backwards. Now, I'd like to mention at this point. A, he wasn't there when they sang it. B, when he's playing it back, when you play a song backwards, note for note on a piano, it typically does not sound like winding a tape backwards.
Right.
Like everything, you know, when you play something backwards, it sounds different than if you were just to speak a sentence backwards.
Right.
So he's playing the notes on a piano backwards, yet it's all bizarre and the pitch is all wrong because it's being like backwards, like a tape.
Yeah.
And again, though, like Jack was saying earlier, the whole message was, if you're ugliness is on the outside, or it's, I can't remember what it was. Ugly side on the outside, but on the inside,
you're
a good
person,
and it's okay, and we all get along. But
then
he's still trying to force him into the garbage pail.
Okay, kids.
He didn't learn any lessons.
Okay, kids, it's okay to be ugly, and society should accept you for who you are.
I'm still going to put you in a garbage
pail. Time to get back
in the garbage. Let's hide you away.
But back to a garbage pail.
But of course, it doesn't work, and the garbage pail kids leave.
They sneak out the back.
Yeah, as he's playing the song.
And they're, it's kind of,
and he notices it doesn't work, and it doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Right.
They're going to go looking for their friends. Like potential,
even the though friends are dead.
Even though while they were breaking them out of the state home for the ugly, Mr. Manzini is the Garbage Pail Kids are like, can you help us break out our friends? Dodger goes to Mr. Manzini, we got to try to find our friends. And he kind of just shakes his head. And while Goofy triumphant music is playing, he shakes his head and like crushes his hands.
He says, remember that garbage truck.
He says, remember that garbage truck? They were like, killed in that. Yeah. Whoops.
It's like, why?
I guess I shouldn't have tried going through the front door all those times.
And they're like, okay, we just won't tell them. And it's all okay. Like, they don't, like, there's no scene where, like, at the end of the movie.
Oh, so they're still looking for their friends?
Yeah. Like, there's no scene at the end of the movie where they're, like, moping in a garbage dump and all the other kids pop out and they like, yay, like, something like that. But
yeah, they just got killed.
They just got killed.
Whatever.
Yeah, but if they had this movie made, like, $60 million franchise, you know.
They would have come back in a sequel.
And that's it, ooh, right?
I think that's it.
Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids ride off, not into the sunset.
They save the day.
Again, like, they ride off just into the dark, because it's, you know, like, we're shifting from day to night constantly, and they just ride off into
on
the
stolen
night.
Stolen vehicles.
That bar.
Yeah.
On stolen vehicles. I'm assuming they're stolen vehicles.
Yeah, because they also got some kind of weird sponsorship, clearly, from that, like, ATV company.
Yeah,
because they're, like, they're always
ATV
on the ATVs.
Some reason, yeah.
Like, they must have given them money. Okay, couple of things we're going to do. Well, first, let's do our ongoing segment, loved it, reviews from IMDb of people who really enjoyed this movie, maybe more than all of us did.
I have to say, these have become my favorite part of listening to the podcast, because they're freaking hilarious.
These are great. And what we're these are real reviews, Jess, and for anyone who's hearing this for the first time, real reviews from IMDb. Feel free to react to these reviews. As always, I do my best based on the punctuation in the review to read it accurately. Why would I be saying that? Is it because there's some crazy punctuation going on? I don't know. We'll see. Probably not. The first one is from Mike from Canada. I feel if you aren't into the whole GPK franchise, you probably are negatively biased on your opinion of this film. You have to be open-minded when it comes to a film of this level. And hopefully you might be entertained to a certain degree. I'm guessing Mike is a lawyer. That is one of the most legalese statements ever. It seems people these days have too high of expectation for films. Even though it's definitely not a great example of an 80s film, or any decade for that matter, this movie is not as bad as people say it is. 7 out of 10.
Wow.
I actually kind of agree with him. Okay, first of all, let me, full disclosure, I'm kind of making the tactical error of I have some nostalgia with this movie. It was one of my favorite movies growing up. And I don't know, I look back on just, you know, the way I liked it back then. And it's just a fun little ride. I mean, you know, if you don't try to take it too seriously and the discrepancies, I think you can have fun just watching it if you're not embarrassed by it.
There's something you said for that.
Yeah.
This next, another review I'm going to do here is from 4spam4 from the United States. I'm going to try to clean up some of the spelling errors in this one, so stay with me here. I rented this movie by chance when my daughter was 8 or 9 years old. She must have watched it 100 times.
Wow, I feel
sorry
for that. That's a serious... That was me. Is my dad?
Four spam, that's a serious red flag. and all the neighbor kids would come over to watch it.
Oh, my God.
The fact that she loved it made me love it, too. Plus, I actually liked it.
First, he blames the daughter that he's like, well, I liked it. Yeah.
No sense. Okay. Forget all the technical flaws. It was a good story with some funny stuff going on. Very cleverly done. I love it when Alligator is checking out all the toes at the bar. Too fat, too skinny. Ah, tasty looking toes. And it has a good message for kids about dealing with peer pressure and feelings of love. I don't know.
There was a lot of peer pressure, but I don't think it was against peer pressure.
I think the audience that they were aiming this for was a little too young to even pick up on that.
And he follows up with, I still recommend this movie to parents I meet today. I'm glad to hear it's available on DVD and plan to get a copy right away.
Wow.
Great to give kids something to watch during a family gathering. 9 out of 10. Note.
I would not gather my family to watch this movie.
I would.
What's
be
a family kids, gathering more than vomit kids, and urination?
Kids also like Barney in episode 1, so I think we got to be a little subjective here.
Yeah, this is just weird. And before we go into So Wrong It's our game of So Wrong It's Right, a little background in this movie: the director Rod Amato, who made this, did not do a lot of other theatrical films. He is well known for his work in TV, however, and I was doing a little research. He has worked on some of the most legendarily bad TV shows in history. On almost anyone's top 10 list of the worst network shows, he's worked on three of them.
Wow.
He was a producer. Is anyone familiar with the show here, or familiar here with the show, My Mother the Car?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just for the name alone.
Producer on My Mother the Car.
Wow.
Which for those who,
a risk taker.
He is a risk taker.
I will give him that.
This was a network show where Jerry Van Dyke's mother was reincarnated in a classic car.
Reincarnated?
Exactly. Yes. And the mother talks to him through the car. They made 30 episodes of this in the 60s. This really happened.
Wow.
Always shows up on those like TV Land, like worst TV shows ever lists. Also, anybody want to guess the name of the bad guy and the character on My Mother the Car? There was a antique collector who was always trying to get the car
that had the mother.
His name
Manzini. Captain Manzini.
No, no.
Yes. That was the name of the bad guy on My Mother the Car. After he did My Mother the Car, then he worked on Super Train. Has anyone ever heard of this?
Yes.
Super Train, a show that was so expensive and so bad, only a few episodes aired for NBC in 1979 and almost bankrupt the company.
Oh, wow.
A producer on that. Followed that up, I mean, this is a stunning TV career. Followed that up by he was a producer not only on Dukes of Hazzard, but the Dukes of Hazzard spin-off, Enos, where the police officer from Dukes of Hazzard got his own show as a detective in L.A. This is a real show that happened. Oh, he was a producer on it. So, yeah, Ron Amato really working in some... And that's basically how he wrapped up his career. He did Garbage Pail Kids. I think he did another TV movie, and that was pretty much it.
Going out in style.
Yeah. Yeah. To be associated with that many... I mean, this
blaze
guy
of glory,
is sort of...
We call that. That's yeah. a blaze of glory.
This
right
guy
there,
really
man.
Should be, like, our hero.
I salute you, my friend.
Yeah. And as Jack and I were talking about before we got to this episode, this is a movie from 1987,
yes.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes, it is.
We have done, I'm trying to think of how many episodes we've done in this show, 12
or
13.
12
or 13,
yeah.
1987 is a legendary year already on this show.
We have like three or four movies from 87.
Just from 1987 alone, like a quarter of our movies from 1987.
And this is coincidence.
Yeah.
It's not like we're picking these by year or movies that we just happen to remember because we're all relatively the same age. This is
just
coincidentally
bad movies.
I
mean, here are some of the movies from 1987. This movie, Garbage Pail Kids, Superman 4. Jaws the Revenge.
Wasn't Over the Top 87?
Over the top
was 87. Wasn't Amityville 4 87?
No, it's like 90, I think.
I think that's 90.
It sounds
90.
Like they're trying to play off a lot of genres that were initially very successful, but then they just took them too far. It was
yeah.
like early
80s,
they did really
was...
well, and then they just kind of dried up.
In fact, all three of the movies that were nominated for Razzies for Worst Special Effects in 1987, one of these episodes hasn't posted yet, but you'll see it soon. We've done all three of them on this. Superman 4, Jaws the Revenge, and Garbage Pail Kids were the three nominees in 87 for Worst Visual Effects.
Wow.
Other movies from 1987, movies you may be seeing here, Masters of the Universe is a 1987
yep.
movie.
Yep.
Tough Guys Don't Dance, which is a movie we really should do
yeah.
on this show at some point. Ishtar.
Ishtar.
I mean, it's nonstop. So this week...
Mannequin is 87.
Oh, Mannequin is 87. The G.I. Joe movie, that's animated. G.I. Joe movie's also 87.
Sounds like a banner year.
I like
that. Oh, God, I knew that. I knew that was going to happen. Okay.
Leave me alone. I liked it.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to give... This is this week's So Wrong It's Right question. You can play along at home. I'm going to give you the top five vote-getters at the Razzies. And this isn't who won the Razzie, but who won the most Razzies that year for 1987. So we're going to give you... These are your options here. Ishtar. Over the Top. Who's That Girl? Also known to most people as the Madonna movie. Okay, Jessica's got that one. Jaws the Revenge and Leonard Part 6, the Bill Cosby movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll go through them again.
Were there five previous
Leonard
parts?
Part 6.
Leonard Part 6.
Wow.
I feel so old saying so.
Wow.
I was a kid in 87. They made a movie called Leonard Part 6 with the joke being that parts 1 through 5 were too secret and couldn't be released, that was part of the joke. and it went on to be like one of the worst movies.
Leonard Part Six is terrible. Leonard Part Six is terrible.
It's really bad.
I recommend we review Leonard Part Six.
Yeah. Leonard Part Six is really, really bad.
It makes Ghost Dad look like Bill Cosby's finest work.
So to go through them again, Leonard Part Six, Jaws the Revenge, Who's That Girl, Over the Top, and Ishtar. Over the Top, by the way, that episode's available on iTunes and at StopTheMoviePodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
The Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling classic. So think about this for a second. I'll read them one more time. Ishtar, Over the Top, Who's That Girl, Jaws the Revenge, and Leonard Part 6.
Most Razzies in general?
This is that collected the most Razzies overall.
That year.
And this is a close one. This is who actually won the most Razzies.
It's tough.
So yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. And we've seen some of them. Who's That Girl is the Madonna movie. This is 1987, Madonna at her diva most finest. A movie where Madonna refused to do multiple takes, and the movie is basically made up of first takes of everything, because that's all she wanted to do. Ishtar, Warren Beatty, and Dustin Hoffman, one of the all-time box office flops.
That is legendary, is a Hollywood mistake.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Over the Top, we saw it here, a sad story of a father who destroys his son's life, his estranged son's life, in an attempt to win him back.
While arm wrestling.
Jaws the Revenge, a deeply moving story about a bond between a middle-aged woman and a shark. And Leonard Part 6, where Bill Cosby basically throws all of the good, you know, good feelings people had towards him in the garbage can. Let's start with Cody, because Cody has won a lot of these.
Wolf's
so
dominate.
We're going to put the pressure
dominate
right on
this
games.
One, I don't know this one. I haven't seen a lot of these films, so I'm going to have to break it.
If you haven't seen Leonard Part 6, you're not missing much.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to have to say it comes down to Over the Top or Jaws 4, because we've done those two. I'll have to say Jaws 4.
Okay.
I think is what I'm going to say.
Okay. Cody going with Jaws 4. Brian?
I'll go with the Madonna movie.
Oh, Who's That Girl? Excellent
who's
choice.
Who's that girl?
Excellent choice.
It's Madonna.
I just like to say that. I know. I've never been a waiter. I always wanted to say that. Just anytime anyone orders their food, oh, excellent choice. I like to say that to people because you were like, you know. All right. Well,
you can say that in so many
I'll have chicken
contexts.
Nuggets, please. Excellent,
yeah, excellent choice.
Choice.
Great choice.
Excellent choice. The best.
Jack, what are you going with?
I just have a very strong feeling that it is going to be Who's That Girl. So I'm going to go with Brian on this one. I don't. It's
Madonna.
In my gut. I think it's Who's
Madonna,
That Girl.
Madonna not getting the love here today. And
or
Jessica Kane.
I think I'm going to go with Cody on this, Jaws or Revenge. I think people get offended when they mess with an original that bad. So.
Jaws the Revenge. So two for Jaws the Revenge. I'm going to tally the votes right now. Hold on, let me tally these.
Okay,
I've tallied them.
Give us a second. Let's take a break.
Oh,
you got them? Okay.
Two people going for Jaws the Revenge. Two for going for Who's That Girl. The winner of the most Razzies that year was Leonard Part 6.
Oh.
Leonard Part 6.
I thought you were
going to
pick
however,
Leonard Part 6. I'm
however,
sorry,
you can all take some consolation in that Jaws the Revenge actually had more nominations.
I consider that a win. I consider that
a win. Why didn't you say we could all take consolation?
It's not a win.
Well, Jack and I have no consolation.
You also get no because Who's That Girl had a ton of nominations, had five nominations, so it was right behind. So it was right there. And I think we can all say that probably was the worst movie of that year.
Oh, it was bad.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. And to finish this one up, I thought we would just take a second, since we have a little bit of time, to maybe answer a couple questions that I sometimes get sent to me via Twitter.
Twit questions. Huh?
Get some Twitter questions, and I'd throw these out to the forum here. One of the Twitter questions I got was, "How did we come up with the idea for this podcast?" Which I promptly said, "Great question," because much like to say, "Great choice." I love whenever anyone
excellent
asks a question, you just love to say, "Great question."
Excellent question.
This podcast, I'll put in my contribution, I'll let you guys, this sort of had its basis, and we were thinking about like a Mystery Science Theater type thing at one point, and I think all of us are pretty fascinated by bad movies. Jack is a longtime bad movie fan.
My collection is longer than my collection of good movies.
Yeah, but we have to thank a movie also that we haven't done on this show, but we probably should, that Brian and I went to see in the theater. Sucker Punch?
Yes.
We went to see Sucker Punch in the theater, which is a horrible, horrible movie.
First movie I've basically ever fallen asleep in.
I wish
Sucker
I fell
Punch.
Asleep. I couldn't even fall
which
asleep.
Which is unbelievable because it was nothing but like action, quotation marks, action scenes in it.
Yeah. It was like a video game that didn't even have the cut scenes in it. It's terrible. And in talking about that movie, there was some inspiration from that too, and it's sort of, I mean, Cody, you and your dad are pretty notorious bad movie fans as well.
Yeah, growing up, we always used to go to the video store and see what terrible, mostly horror movies we could find and watch those. But a couple of the first one, Amityville 4, was one that we had watched probably 10 years ago. Yeah. And that was the first one we brought in for the podcast.
Yeah. There's something about just watching movies that are so bad they're good. Jess, you enjoy a good bad movie, don't you?
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of Garbage Pail Kids. And there's just something about not having to think too hard and just watching something that just makes you laugh because it's so ridiculous. And, well, yeah, I think there's value to that.
I like to say...
It's fun to laugh at something you're not...
I always like to say I love movies so much that it's just phenomenal to see how horribly they can go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, cinematic, you can watch a movie, you could be like, you can see a phenomenal actor do poorly. You could see an director who's capable of doing so much, but there's like so much money involved and somehow they produced a bomb. How does a script get green lit? There's just, every now and then you just see a movie and it's not an opinion thing.
Yeah.
Like, some people like a movie, some people hate a movie. That happens all the time. But there are some movies where it's just obvious. Like,
yeah, I think
movie is worthless.
You know? Bad cinema is like, it's almost an art form in and of itself. Like, in high school, I was a big fan of trauma movies just because they were deliberately, I guess, not good. I mean,
yeah, they're kind of, that's almost a different art form.
They were made so you could
see
the scenes and you know.
Yeah, because they're like deliberately bad.
Right.
I've always been fascinated by unintentionally bad, like big budget movies, like cinematic train wrecks that are like so bad they're good. When you're like, with the amount of money they had, there is no way this movie should have been this bad. You know, Garbage Pail Kids, I mean... apparently Garbage Pail Kids had $30 million budget.
That's
amazing. What? I don't know where that...
I can't wait to see the budget of the new Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
The Garbage Pail Kids are like the Friends cast. They all demanded like $6 million.
We're all getting freaked out.
Greaser Greg was the Joey of the bunch.
Another question I had here. Why have you guys not done any of the Roland Emmerich, Dean Devlin movies, i.e., Independence Day,
bad movies,
Godzilla,
2012
BC.
I think they were Roland Emmerich did the 50,000 BC. I think he did 2012.
I was looking at 2012 the other day, thinking it might be a good one for us.
Yeah,
it was a little long. That's the thing. I think
the one with John Cusack.
Oh, where they build the ark.
I haven't seen it.
Basically
spoiled the ending.
Oh no!
I mean, here's my thing, and I respond to this person by saying, terrible question. Terrible question. No, I didn't. My thing with the Roland Emmerich movies is I hate those movies. Like, and I think they're terrible, but I don't find them so bad they're good. I just, I hate them.
Well, and if you listen
them.
To our mini episode, you'll see that I am actually kind of a fan of Godzilla, so.
Yeah, maybe Godzilla will get worked in. Those are hard.
I think there are bad movies and movies that just don't quite click. In 2012, it's just not quite what it should have been versus like a legitimate bad movie.
Yeah, they're just bad, but
they're not laughable.
You get the sense that they're just trying to produce. We need to make a movie that's going to make a lot of money this summer. So let's take all the things that make a good summer blockbuster. Let's get a really big name actor. Let's get some popular rock band to do the soundtrack. Let's have lots of explosions and CGI. We'll slap this movie together in, you know, a month, and we'll release it. We'll make a lot of money, and then we'll go and we'll make another phenomenal piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And it just kind of shows in their work that they're just kind of like, yeah, man, we're cutting edge. And no, you're not. You're just kind of making bad.
Well, if they make a movie with Al Pacino and Lili Sobieski, I'll watch that one.
Oh, Lili Sobieski, a favorite on this podcast.
She's been in two of our bad movies so far.
Yes.
And hopefully a third.
And the only actor who has so far appeared in more than one, right? Of our reviews.
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo
in One for the Money.
That's right.
Lili Sobieski's been in a few.
She's been in Wicker Man.
I can't believe we've only done really one rough. Nicolas Cage so far.
Yeah, people actually ask me about that too. That we've only done one Nicolas Cage movie.
We gotta do another.
Yeah, we should.
I'm just saying Ghost Rider. Let's just do it.
I don't know if that's bad enough. Really? I'm not sure. I mean, I think we might need something worse. I'm not sure that's actually...
Well, there's plenty.
I want to do that movie where he turns into the vampire.
Or
the movie where they kidnap his baby. Weird...
I want to see that one.
Which Drive Angry? Where they kidnap his baby.
The one Brian's... I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah.
Vampire's Kiss, I think it is.
Oh, Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
Vampire's
one
Kiss.
Bad.
He thinks he's turning into a vampire.
His voice changes every scene.
That's a pretty crazy one. Well, and last question before we wrap up, which was somebody asked me, what are some upcoming movies you guys would like to do on the podcast? I'll give people a tip. At some point, you will be seeing already completed episodes for Superman 4, so I think we alluded to before, in 88 minutes, the Al Pacino
What's the score of a man in this game?
What did I pull my own
Who's trying to kill me? Those episodes are already in the can, and you will hear those at some point. Other movies may come. Samurai Cop will probably be an episode coming up.
And I will be bringing to the table probably more around Halloween, Monster Dog.
Monster Dog.
Which stars Alice Cooper, but not Alice Cooper's voice.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to see to do that one. I love
that movie. That's one of those life changers. There's a bunch of movies I would love to review.
What's the sheep one?
Black Sheep is phenomenal.
Ouch. Yeah.
That is a work of art, Jessica.
I would love to see that.
That's the best movie ever.
Program.
That is the best movie I've ever seen. You stop it.
If you like to see sheep driving.
Yeah, it's an awesome film. Black Sheep is not the David Spade film. Black Sheep is an amazing movie, and I don't think we should podcast it because I think it's a good movie.
I actually like Black Sheep, too.
It's not the David Spade, Chris Farley?
It's a movie from New Zealand about sheep, were sheep, and zombie sheep. It's obviously played for comedy. I thought it was very good.
I let
Jessica borrow it, and she apparently didn't like it very much.
I got a kick out of it. Other movies I think you'll probably be seeing at some point in the future, Tango and Cash will probably make an appearance here. I think the Burt Reynolds movie, Cop and a Half, will probably
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Maybe Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. I don't know if that's on DVD. That's one of the only things holding us back.
Wow.
I don't have a copy of Stop or My Mom Will Shoot on DVD.
How about Caddyshack 2?
Caddyshack 2. Well, They Live. Andy Wolf, who's not
They Live. I just watched
it the other day.
Again,
I like that.
That's a tough one.
I like it.
I like They Live.
We can't do that.
I mean, it's crazy, though.
I like it, and it's crazy. Because I love it so much.
I don't know. That might be a very different kind of episode where we sort of talk about a movie we also like.
I vote for In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale, which also stars Lili Sobieski.
Oh, gotta do it.
And Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds, Jason Statham, Ron Perlman.
And who directed it?
That's
an Uwe Boll movie.
Uwe Boll, that's right.
Yeah. And The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes.
That is a terrible movie.
Wesley Snipes' baseball player.
That really is the movie where De Niro's career started to trend downhill, where you realize he could make a bad movie.
We could do Pearl Harbor if you really wanted to.
Oh no.
See, that's offend some more veterans.
Too bad. It's just too bad.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead? You guys seen that one?
That is with Christina Applegate.
I like that movie. No, I'm kidding. It's horrible. It's a great recommendation.
That is a good one. Yeah, because that is kind of so bad it's good territory. So there's a couple.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Couple, and we should always mention at some point. Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Weekend at Bernie's 2 should be an episode.
Weekend at Bernie's is actually a decent movie. Weekend at Bernie's 2 went off the rails. And Battlefield Earth at some point will be an upcoming episode. High demand for that. I think that's it. Any closing thoughts on this Garbage Pail Kids movie? Anything we didn't touch on?
I mean, I think we covered it all.
It's just the most bizarre movie, I think, definitely that we've done, but probably that I've ever seen.
Maybe a follow-up podcast for the new one coming out.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, I'll go see it in the theater.
It couldn't be. I think it's going to be computer animated. What makes this movie so crazy is the costumes. So weird, these animatronic costumes. It's the weirdest movie.
The costumes of the animatronics on the Garbage Pail Kids themselves is just subpar, even for 87 standards, right?
Yeah.
The costume design on actual people is just beyond 80s badness.
Yeah, that's beyond
the music,
any help.
The music sounded like it was recorded on a Casio keyboard in 20 minutes. The acting is terrible. The Garbage Pail Kids just feel like they've been shoehorned into their own movie. It's like they made a plot and then said, we forgot to put the Garbage Pail Kids in.
It's a little like the first Transformers movie, where you
feel like
the Transformers are supporting characters in their own movie. You know, there's because every time we get caught up in this tangerine, Dodger romance, I'm like, wait, I'm seeing a movie about Garbage Pail Kids. I don't care about your fashion designs and, her marketing of her T-shirts and,
I think the kids are trying to teach Dodger a lesson about tangerine, although we did bring up some ethical dilemma with the kids. But I think overall, this is kind of a charming movie. I think it's a fun little thing to watch. I think it tries to have a good message. I say give it a shot. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's the worst that could happen. It might be fun.
Charming is not the word I would use, but I I think it would be a fun watch if you got all your friends together and just wanted to laugh at a bad
movie. The kids save the day. You gotta love that.
Sure do. I can understand why it has a cult following. I thought it was crazy. It was a mess and all that, but I did. It's so weird. I could understand why people like it has a huge following. Well, I think that's it. That wraps up this episode of Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. As always, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us at our website, stopthemoviepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook. Please give us a like on Facebook. And you can find some of us on Twitter.
Yeah, at Jack Estabrook. I tweet the movie notes as I watch them.
And you can find Jessica Kane at
Jessica Kane News.
Jessica Kane News, or on your television if you live
we'll
in New York.
We'll have to bring Jess back at some point.
Yes, Jess, we'll have to bring you back. We're gonna bring you back in for a movie you don't like.
Okay,
that's
good,
what we have to do.
Good.
Yeah, you have to come back.
Ripping.
Yeah. You have to really sit through a torturous movie. Like you should have had to sit through like a House of the Dead. Yeah. Like that was
House of the Dead. I still have those scars. They run deep.
Or the
they
Happening.
Run deep.
Yeah. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Alex Dunbar News. You can also follow us at WindUpFilms on Twitter. And I think that brings this episode to a close. We'll be back soon. More So Bad It's Good movies, more guests, more fun,
more
games.
More crazy hijinks.
Shenanigans.
And capers.
Yeah, that's hilarious hijinks.
More urination and animatronic pimple popping.
And that is it. We will see you all later. Thank you.